Good morning, and welcome to the gathering of Recreate Church. We good now? Can you hear me now? All right, excellent. It's always fun to come out into this winter wonderland and battle some technical difficulties, but if that's what we've got to do to be able to bring the Word of God, we'll do it. It's no big deal. Kind of cold out here, 20-some degrees, well below freezing. So thankful for the sunshine. Thankful that the wind isn't blowing. Thankful for a good pair of gloves, which I'm going to put on right now. What a beginning to the year. Can we agree that the premiere episode of 2021 was very intriguing? We made it like 6 days into 2021 before it became clear that it's not 2021, it's 2020.1. It's just like the next, it's the 13th month of 2020. Weird days. It's if a writer was making this up, writing a script to sell it to a TV or movie producer, no one would buy the script because it would be too unbelievable. No one would believe this stuff if you try to say 5 years ago all the craziness would happen. But here we are. Sometimes truth is stranger than fiction. And for the people who are listening across the world to this podcast, you aren't in America, man, we don't know what's going on either. We're just sort of along for the ride ourselves and praying for our nation. I had a totally different message planned for this week, you all. Something along the lines of the series that I began on those Jewish feast days, and Lord willing, we'll be back to that next week. So be ready for the Day of Atonement next week. But today, I just feel like we need some special encouragement and a reminder that no matter how strange our world may be, the Lord is still at work. And He invites people like you and me to be a part of what He's doing. God wants you. Now, I can hear the objection to that. It's the same objection that I would have. So wait a minute, man. I know, Mr. Preacher Man, that you're supposed to pump us up on a Sunday and encourage us, but surely you don't really believe that one person can make a difference. One person out of 7.5 billion people on the planet, and you're telling me, you're trying to pump me up and tell me that I can make a difference. Well, I do believe that one person can make a difference. And in order to prove that to you, I want to take you back to a simpler time, a magical time in our history, a time where people wore slap bracelets and listened to Nirvana on Sony Discmans, a time when people had unironic mullets, a time when people played hacky sack and cars full of young women would cruise the streets of small towns singing "Don't Want No Scrubs." I'm talking about the 1990s. Some of you were here for that. Some of you were not, particularly my kids were not here for that. It was a weird time. So what else did people do in that distant era of that distant era when everything was made out of denim? Well, we watched the Chicago Bulls win NBA championships. It was like the most dominant run in the history of professional basketball. The Chicago Bulls just winning championship after championship after championship in the 90s. And it's easy to forget that there was a time when the Bulls were terrible. They were an awful basketball team. They struggled to win even one out of every three games. Pitiful. But all of that losing came with some hope. Because in professional sports, most of the time, the teams with the worst records get to pick early when new players come out of college. They get to draft the very best players. So the Chicago Bulls were just coming off one of the worst seasons in franchise history. It was a low time, but that meant they had a high draft pick. And that is when the fortunes, the trajectory of the Chicago Bulls franchise changed forever. Changed the whole history. Because that year in the NBA draft with the third pick, the Chicago Bulls selected 6'6" shooting guard out of North Carolina, Michael Jordan changed everything about the franchise and basketball. He is, I'm going to say, he's the greatest. Now, for those who are younger, who may not have ever seen Michael Jordan play, I realize we have an entire generation who never saw Jordan play. He was like LeBron James is now, except he's more like what LeBron hopes he could grow up and be. No disrespect to LeBron James. He's a great basketball player, but he's great, but he's not the GOAT. What is GOAT? Greatest of all time. He's great, but he's not the GOAT. Why do you think LeBron wears number 23? Because everybody wants to be like Mike. So let me kind of break this down for you. If you're not a sports or a basketball person, you might be hearing these names and like, man, what are you talking about? Can you get to the preaching? Preacher, preach. Don't do sports analysis. Okay, let me just let you know the way this is. The story that I want to bring to you out of this story, the truth is, before Michael Jordan showed up, the Bulls were on a losing streak. After he showed up, they went on a winning streak. Before, they were terrible and couldn't have a winning season. After, they were winning championship after championship in the 1990s. They won three championships in a row, took a break for a couple years, and won three more championships in a row. So it's amazing the difference that one player could make. That's not the whole story, but it's the biggest part of the story. When Michael Jordan showed up, they went from struggle bus to six championships. So it's pretty clear from this story that one person can make a difference. Do you agree with that? One person can make a difference. It's true. Do you really believe that, though? And is Michael Jordan the only one who can make a difference like that? Or maybe I'll put it like this. Is he the only Michael Jordan out there? Because you know what I think? I think I'm talking to a bunch of Michael Jordans right now. Michael Jordan. Now, you may look at the person sitting in the car with you, and they don't look like a 6'6" shooting guard out of North Carolina. They don't look like Michael Jordan. But I believe that you and I can be like Michael Jordan. Surely you got to be questioning me right now. Say, hey, man, what do you mean I'm like Michael Jordan? If I had the basketball skill of Michael Jordan, I would be in the NBA. Does this look like the NBA to you? This doesn't look like the NBA to me. I don't think Hillsboro, Virginia is about to get an NBA franchise anytime soon. So we're obviously not in the NBA. Okay, I'll give you that. Maybe you're not the Michael Jordan of basketball. But then again, chances are your sphere of influence, your world, doesn't need somebody with outstanding basketball skills. They need somebody with outstanding character. That's what our world needs. Your situation, your family doesn't need somebody who can break sports records. Your family needs somebody who can break destructive patterns. The world doesn't need us to be a person who can handle a basketball with grace. The world needs us to be people who can handle drama with grace. The people around you, they don't really need somebody who can elevate above the rim and dunk a basketball. They need somebody who can elevate above the mess of this world and be an influence for healing and reconciliation and righteousness. So, okay, maybe you're not the Michael Jordan of the NBA, but you can be the Michael Jordan of your sphere of influence. You can be the person that whose dedication takes everything to a higher level. I think we need to hear that this week, starting out a new year, and the new year's already weird, and we're like, man, things are going on that we can't do anything about, and how can we make a difference? I want to be an encouragement to you that maybe you can't change the whole world, but you can change the story around you. So often we're waiting on God to swoop in and fix things. We're saying, Lord, won't you come down here and straighten out this dysfunction I see in my family or my community or in my country or in my checking account. Lord, please come down and do something about my workplace or my school situation. We should be praying for those things. But here's what we miss. Hear me. This is the main point I want to get across to you today. We are not just waiting on a move of God. We are the move of God. If you are a follower of Jesus, he's placed you in this world as the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And your situation is meant to be different because you are in it. You're the move of God in your family. You're the move of God at your work. You're the move of God in your community. And on some level, I'm hoping we can be the move of God in our nation and be an influence for the Lord to lead people toward him. Don't underestimate the positive influence that you can have if you decide to be the light of God in your little circle. So I want to introduce you to a character from the Old Testament. It's in 2 Chronicles 34, if you want to be finding that in the Word. This character, this person, was born into a long losing streak. His family was an absolute dysfunctional mess. His grandfather was about as evil as a person could be. So evil that he sacrificed his own children to pagan gods. He killed his own kids. His father would have probably done just as many evil things as the grandfather, but his father was murdered while the character in our story was still young. He was murdered. So then there's this guy I want to tell you about. He was 8 years old when his dad was murdered, and the story was a mess before he ever showed up. Before he ever did anything, the odds were stacked against him. Now, maybe we feel like that. The world was a messed up place before we got here, wasn't it? It was already a mess. You know, it's not like it just changed after we showed up. Now, how are we supposed to do anything about that? How are we supposed to elevate dysfunctional situations? How are we supposed to elevate the conversation in our nation when it's so full of social and political turmoil? How are we supposed to do anything about that? We assume one person really can't make much of a difference. We assume one person can't break destructive patterns that have been around for a long time. But this story will show us that one person can be the move of God in their circle. So the main character's name is Josiah. Josiah was the king of Judah. And we hear that word king and we think, oh, wait, he was a king. No wonder he could be influential. If he's a king, he could influence the direction of a nation. So we're off the hook, right? We're not kings and queens and royalty. Of course, you're going to say to the person who's around you, you're going to say, you're my queen. I'll say that to my wife. You're my queen, girl. You're my queen. But literally, politically, no. So are we off the hook then for trying to be salt and light and influence in our circle? No. If anything, we're on the hook more. Josiah was responsible for a whole nation, a whole kingdom. You're only responsible to be salt and light in your circle, or that's where it starts. And if you're salt and light in that circle, the Lord may give you some greater opportunities than that. So let's read in 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verses 1 through 7. We're going to read a lot of the scriptures here. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places. That was the pagan altars is what it's talking about here. The wooden images, the carved images, and the molded images he broke in pieces. He made dust of them and scattered it on the graves of those who had sacrificed to them. And so he did in the cities of Manasseh, Ephraim, and Simeon, as far as Naphtali and all around with axes. That is to say, he went outside the borders of his own kingdom, and he rooted out the evil in the kingdom next door, which was Judah. It was all Israel and Judah. It was all one thing at one time, but it had divided. Verse 7, when he'd broken down the altars and wooden images, he had beaten the carved images into powder and cut down all the incense altars throughout the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. I want to pause right there and pray for us, Heavenly Father. Oh, Lord, help us to see that one life can make a difference and that people like us who don't necessarily have political power or position, we can still be an influence in our world. Lord, I pray that you will make us the move of God in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. What a revival. I mean, did you catch all that? You need to go back and study that out. I'm only going to touch on bits of it today. Josiah had such a story. He was the move of God and influenced his nation and the nation next door. But when it started out, it didn't look so promising. Josiah became king at a time when the nation had suffered under dysfunctional leadership for generations. It had been a lifetime since they'd had a good king. This was Hezekiah would have been the last good king, and that was a long time back. And here he is. He's only 8 years old when he's placed on the throne. 8 years old, a third grader. A third grader who had probably been through so much. If his father and grandfather were that evil, who knows what this kid suffered in his childhood? It's hard to say. We really don't have a record of what it was like, but a third grader doesn't seem like the right person to elevate a situation. And we would say that about ourselves, that we're not the right people. We look around and we see the messes, don't we? We see that something needs to happen. We see that the conversation in our nation is kind of at a low point, and we don't feel good about that. And we look at messes in our family or in our sphere of influence, and we think, man, somebody needs to do something. But I'm not that somebody. I'm not the right person. I just don't think I can do it. We come up with all kinds of excuses for not being the one to lead change in our world. But Josiah kind of messes up our excuses. Are you and I really less qualified than a third grader? Are we smarter than a third grader? I hope so. I hope we're more qualified and capable than a third grader to affect change in our world. The Lord can use anybody with a willing and obedient heart. Josiah, in a bad situation, he might have been a king, but dysfunction doesn't know a tax bracket or a zip code. It's all over the place. Every family has its baggage. Not yours, though. Your family's totally normal, and nobody's weird in your family. Just other people's family. No. Hey, we know the truth that every family has baggage and issues, and it's nobody's family is perfect. Every environment has its underbelly, and every environment has, well, just a little toxicity. Some of you know what it's like to really deal with toxic people or a toxic situation. I don't want to minimize that ever, because it can be so hard to break out of the patterns in our lives, the patterns of anger and of handling conflict unhealthily. That's one of the biggest challenges for us today, is there are generations and generations of people who have relationships, but they don't know how to fight fair. They don't know how to disagree and still be good to each other. Unhealthy conflict resolution is one of the biggest struggles in relationships. As a pastor, I counsel couples two things. Communication is always the number one problem, and right after it is not knowing how to resolve conflict in a healthy way, not knowing how to disagree but still work it out. Those are the two toughest things in a relationship, which is, well, those are the two biggest things in a relationship as well, communication and conflict resolution. And once you have seen a pattern of these things, maybe from your family of origin, it's hard to ever do anything different. It's hard to ever break out of what you know. It's hard to break out of patterns of anger, unhealthy conflict. If you get in a pattern of mismanaging money, early in my life, I was making good money, and then I spent my money on stupid things. Has anyone ever in their life, particularly while they were young, made some good money and spent it on stupid stuff? Okay, I got a little honesty. The rest of y'all, I don't know how y'all managed it. I got a little bit on it. Okay, yeah. We've done that. It's hard to break that pattern and get out of that. Man, I'm so thankful for my family. We're kind of getting out of a bad place we got in a few years ago. So thankful for that. It's hard to break patterns of harboring unforgiveness. It's hard to break patterns of addiction and abuse. It seems impossible to change a toxic situation. Most of the time, what do? We try to make things better, and it doesn't work, and we kind of give up on it because it's so hard. And we tell ourselves things like, well, I guess that's just how it is in this family. I don't think my family's ever going to be any different. Or we say, well, man, that's how it is in this place. Or you know how it goes in this town. Nobody ever does anything different here. It's always going to be like this. Or we tell ourselves, well, there's nothing I can do about it. Josiah could have easily felt that way. In some ways, he had more to deal with than we do. But something made a difference. Somehow he chose to be the one to change the situation. What made Josiah the Michael Jordan of his world? What made him choose to be the one to elevate the situation? Well, let's right here in Scripture, let's look at verse 3 in our passage here. For in the eighth year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the wooden images, the carved images, and the molded images. So this is how Josiah broke the cycle. This is how he created a new pattern. He was born into a losing streak, and he was put in a difficult position at a young age. But while he was still young, just 16 years old, he decided something needed to change. He looked at the dysfunctional situation around him and decided something needs to change here. Now, you and I are really good at seeing the dysfunction, aren't we? We can look around in whatever situation we're in and say, man, this isn't right. This shouldn't be. You ever had a job where you look around and say, man, things aren't doing right in this job. People aren't acting the right way, and things need to change. Or, you know, in a community or in a nation, in a family, in whatever situation you're in, we can pick out the things we want to see change. But will we be a part of changing it? Will we commit to the hard work of making it a different place? When Josiah was just 16, he decided the family tradition of dysfunction had to go. As we look around and we see the issues in the world, we can get so discouraged. We see the problems. They look so big. But we forget that God has a secret weapon in those situations. Do you know what the secret weapon, God's secret weapon in your family is? It's you. You're the secret weapon. Why am I the secret weapon, preacher? Because you're hearing this message, and you know something about the Lord, and you can be an influence for the Lord in your family, in your workplace, in your life, among your circle of friends. You are there. Because you are there, God can use you, and you can't make a difference in that situation. You have to do what Josiah did. Josiah didn't just decide one day, say, well, things got to change, and I'm going to fix it. No, it said he sought the Lord. He sought the Lord. And he sought the Lord for years, and he got grounded in what the Lord wanted him to do, and he got close to the Lord. And then he started taking action to influence the people around him to leave behind the old destructive patterns and choose a different way of life. So under his leadership, his influence, people tore down altars. He wasn't physically able to go on all these places and knock down all these pagan shrines and root out the strongholds of the devil. Other people did that because of his influence. We need this to happen in our families, in our communities, in our circles. The devil gets a foothold and attacks relentlessly. Have you ever felt like the devil was attacking your family or your church or your community or your nation? Absolutely. We need to root out those strongholds of the devil. Be a part of changing that. God can use us to make a difference. You can be Josiah. You can be Michael Jordan. Man, I'd love to be Michael Jordan. I always wanted to grow the same height as Michael Jordan and have anything like the basketball skills of Michael Jordan. But I'm not. I'm not even good at basketball video games. It just wasn't in me. We want to change the story around us. I'm going to tell you, some of you are fairly new to being around Recreate Church. We want to be a part of changing stories. We're called Recreate Church for a reason. We want to help people recreate their lives, recreate their stories. We're recreating the church experience. We especially feel we have a calling to minister to people who feel like church has left them behind or have reasons to be discouraged with church. And that's a lot of people. That is a whole lot of people. I'd say you stay around church long enough, at some point you're going to get discouraged or you're going to have questions about it. Now, I certainly have. I've been in ministry for half my life, and I've had my questions as well. We want to be a part of changing that story. We want to help each other get to know the Lord better, get to know Jesus better, walk with Him. We want to equip people to be the light of God in their world. Something we were doing much more of right before the pandemic hit was small groups, and my hope is that the day will come when we can restart our small groups and our Bible studies. We were really taking off with that, and then the pandemic messed that all up. So be watching for that as this thing winds down, and it eventually will. Will we be getting groups together? We have met in the church building. We've met in people's homes. We had a men's Bible study that met up here at Aunt B's restaurant for a long time. That was great. Got a good breakfast out of that. We'd like to get that started again because we want to be a part of helping people change their stories. And changing your story is not something you want to do by yourself. You need a support group around you. And plus, you know, maybe I'm the pastor, but I'm surely not meant to be the only minister around here. We use that word wrong. A minister, every believer is supposed to be a minister to make a difference. You can maybe I'm the pastor, okay? I'm the guy who's supposed to know what he's talking about, supposed to. But I'm not in your situation. There are people in your circle that you can influence for the Lord that I don't even know and may never get to know. And they already know you, and you have the opportunity to be salt and light. Man, there's a reason why I switched gears and went in this direction today, because we need a reminder. Life on this planet is so unpredictable lately that it can kind of leave us feeling sort of helpless, like we can't do anything about what's going on around us. We get discouraged. We wonder how we, one person, can make any positive difference at all. I don't want you to get discouraged like that, because your life is made to make a difference. I'm not saying you're responsible for changing the whole world, but you're responsible for being the salt of the earth and the light of the world in your world, in your sphere, your circle of influence. We look around us and we wish we could do something. We wish we could fix those messed up situations. But what we fail to see is the Lord is already doing something, because you're there. You are the secret agent that the Lord has put in your circle, and He can use you to be an influence. Man, you never know the way you'll be able to influence people. Man, I'll tell you, one of the most exciting things I've got to do as a pastor, I've got to baptize some boys I play sandlot football with. Now, ain't that cool? Comes around way around full circle. Because I knew them way back then, I got to be an influence in their lives later. Same for you. You know people that you can influence for the Lord, and you may be a part of their story of coming to the Lord. You may be a part of changing the story for your family or your workplace. We so often wait on the move of God. We say, God, when are you going to come down here and do something about this? We're wishing, we're waiting, we're praying for the move of God, and we miss that we are the move of God. The ball is in our court. We're Michael Jordan today. So what are you going to do with it? How are you going to be salt and light in your circle? How are you going to elevate that situation? One person can make a difference, even if that person is you or me. A person could be like a man named James Harrison. I love this true story. James Harrison was very sickly as a child. When he was 14 years old, he had to have major surgery to have a lung removed, and he was in the hospital a long time. While he was in recovery, the doctors explained to James that he was only able to survive because he received a lot of blood. And this was donated blood, of course. So he determined that when he was old enough to give blood, he would give blood every chance he got. So 4 years later, he turns 18. He's old enough to give blood. He starts giving blood. And the doctors soon discover there's something special about his blood. It has a unique antibody in it that could be useful in treating something called Rh disease that affects babies. Some of you might have heard of that before. And before they discovered this antibody in his blood, they didn't have any effective treatment for this disease. During his lifetime, he's still living, but he's too old to give blood now. During his lifetime, those antibodies from the blood he donated have saved the lives of over 2.4 million babies, including his own daughter. Don't you tell me one person can't make a difference. Here is one man who has saved 2.4 million lives because he was willing to bleed a little bit. The question for you and for me isn't whether we can make a difference or not. It's, are we willing to bleed a little bit to make a difference? Are we willing to endure a little struggle, a little pain? Have you got anything in your life that's worth bleeding for? I think I do. Are we willing to pay the price? Because I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that you need to be the messenger of God in your your circle, the salt and light in your circle, and that it's going to be easy, because it's not going to be easy. It's going to be hard. It's going to be messy. If you're in a dysfunctional situation, there's reasons why it's dysfunctional. And it took a long time to get that way, and it might take a long time to reverse that. You got to be committed to it. You got to be willing to bleed a little bit for it. Elevating the tone in our country is going to take some time. It took a long way to get where we're at. It's going to take a long time to get back out of it. But unless people like us decide to be the change we want to see, it's not going to get that better. Are we willing to bleed to see that our family situation is different, that our kids have a different story? Are we willing to pay the price? Because we had someone willing to pay the price for us, willing to bleed for us. Jesus wanted us to have a new life so badly. He wanted to change our story so badly that he shed his blood on the cross of Calvary so we could have something different if we wanted it, if we'll trust in him. We can be empowered to make a difference in our world. We can be empowered to be the move of God. So I just want to leave you with this thought. We look around us and we can see destructive patterns. We can see things that we know need to change, that we know is unhealthy, and we don't want to see them continue. That's when we have the choice to make. We have the choice of whether we will be used of God in that situation. Whether we will be the light of the Lord shining in that dark place. We can wonder how we can ever do anything about it, how we can break destructive patterns, how we can change the story, but we don't do it alone. We don't have to do it in our own strength. The Lord will be your strength. He'll empower you with his Holy Spirit. And we want to be helpful as a church. You know, get in touch with us, and we'll do what we can. Local folks can contact me. You can get my cell phone information and stuff. You can go through our website. You can find out how to get in touch with me. I want to pray for us right now. I want to wrap things up today. Heavenly Father, we look around the world and we see so much that is overwhelming. We worry about our nation and the turmoil that seems to be going on. And here close to home, we think about our kids and our families and our world. And we want to see you move. We want to see you make a difference. I pray that you'll awaken us to the truth that you are already moving because we are in that situation. I pray we might be your move in our world, that you'll use us to make a difference. Lord, I pray for everyone that you would lead them to faith in Jesus and that you would empower us to make a difference. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, here we are. Ready to start another week? I don't know what episode 2 of 2021 will bring. Probably something else crazy. But we're going to trust the Lord with it. God bless you guys. We'll catch you next time. Let people know about this, 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. every Sunday, so long as we can kind of get in and out of here and it's possible. You can also listen to the podcast and the YouTube. Let people know about that. God bless y'all. Catch you next time.